This is an ad by BetterHelp. What's your perfect night? Is it curling up on the couch for a cozy, peaceful night in? Therapy can feel a bit like that, your comfort place where you replenish your energy. With BetterHelp, get matched with a therapist based on your needs, entirely online. It's convenient and suited to your schedule. Find comfort this season with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
Anything, it'll just be like Joe Rogan podcast where it's just like they're just talking and they just go live like right in the middle of it, like it's no big freaking deal.
You always were a fucking follower.
Well, you know, I mean, listen, here at the, you know, Daniel 3 podcast, the whole reason I reinstated this, you know, it's the year of giving, the season of giving, right? And I just want to give back, and I just feel bad for failed comics such as yourself who just like, you know, don't have a place in this world. And, you know, like, listen, over at the Libertarian Christian Institute, like, they're really strict with who I have on. So, like, you know what? I'm going to resurrect the Daniel 3 podcast just to give my retarded friend Adam just, you know, a little moment in the sun. You know what I mean?
Thanks, man. No, what's funny is, like, when we go back, and people don't realize, like, that we're fucking with each other.
I know.
Like, on Twitter or whatever. It's like, so I'd be like, hey, I like this, but Jacob sucks and you should unfollow him. People are like, but I like both of you guys. I'm like, I'm just kidding. He's my friend. Just like,
oh boy. I was going to try to find it. Like, I didn't have time to do it. But I was going to, if I could go back and find it, I was going to play it on the stream tonight. And I, what sucks is that I missed this in person, but at the convention, like 2 years ago when you did a comedy stick, you just like roasted me and I wasn't even there to get it, which was freaking hilarious. I was like, where's Jacob? He's not here. You're like, screw it. I'm just going to roast him anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to burn the material I wrote for you. That's your fault that you weren't there.
So what are you up to? Yeah, man, you're looking jacked, man. Like,
I'm trying, dude. I'm fucking trying to get, just completely jacked for 2025. I've been working out pretty hard the last like 2 years. I'm just still like, you know, training in like MMA and stuff like that. Just, you know, like light sparring and all that shit. But so like really lifting like 2 years ago. And now I'm like, I'm not to like 185, 190, but I'm trying to stay under 200 in my weight, but just get like as muscly as I can. Like I'm at like 16, 17% body fat, which is pretty good. For a 38-year-old
like
man.
All arms and no legs.
Yeah, no, my legs are like still thin. I refuse to work out my legs. I refuse to do it. Every day I do shoulders and like, I mean, not every day. When I do shoulders, I try to do legs. And like, I'll do my shoulder workout. I'll be like, should I do legs? I'll just be like, nah, go pick the bag for like fucking 10, 20 minutes, whatever the fuck. I hate doing legs. But like working out's important. I mean, you just said you lost fucking 50 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Dude, it was tough. I mean, because I already have a physical job, so like to force myself to go to the gym to mm-hmm. eat right and whatnot, and it's always hard. Like, this is like the worst time of year because like I pretty much just do no sugar, and then like this time of year, everyone's just like, eat the sugar or you're weird. Like, you can't come to our party and not eat gratuitous amounts of sugar. I'm just like, I'm just like sitting, and it's just social gatherings are weird now because like I don't know how you eat. I think we talked about this a little bit online once, but like I eat not 100% carnivore, but like so far down the keto route that like I'm just one step removed from carnivore. Mm-hmm. So like social gatherings, everyone's like eating all the sides and I'm just like over there with like burger patties with nothing on them. Yeah. Like a sociopath just sitting there just like, are you okay, Jacob? Like, yeah, fine.
Yeah, you're miserable. No, I'm kind of, so like Monday through Saturday, I'll eat pretty clean. Like I just do eggs, steak, chicken, beans, like pretty straightforward. Sunday is when I watch football for 8 hours in a row and I'm like, well, whatever comes my way. like yesterday my wife made sugar cookies. I was like, I'm eating fucking 10 of these and I just fucking ate like 10 sugar cookies. But usually I avoid sugar like every day. I haven't eaten bread this month at all. It's like I've been like off bread. It's, I don't know, it is hard, but once your brain like processes the hard part and you get over like the 9-day hump, you're like, ah, who gives a shit? Like, it's like everything else. It's like you don't need the sugar. Also, this is a good trick I've tried telling people, especially dudes. I'm like, if you see like a piece of chocolate cake or whatever you like, name your thing, and I'm like, hey man, you've had that before though, you know what it tastes like, so like, is it worth eating again just because you want that feel? Right. It's like, unless it's something like super extravagant you never had before, then all right, I get that. But like, oh, you never had a Hershey bar before? You never had a Butterfinger before? It's like, who get, like, you know what it tastes like. Just think about it and move the fuck on. Like, I don't know what to tell you. But like, eating that shit is poison, dude. Like, sugar is the worst. I mean, I eat on Sundays. I'm like a little bit of a hypocrite, but like Monday through Saturday, I try to eat super, super clean. Like right now, I'm having a fucking Clif Bar, which has some sugar in it, but like it's something crazy. It just hold me. I just worked out, so it's like a holdover till I get home.
Yeah, no, that's. I think it's pretty close to what I do. I mean, I wouldn't say I cheat every week, but like probably like once a month, especially because it's just hard. Like when I got five kids, really active in my church, and so like. Like during the week when I'm working, it's real easy to eat clean. But yeah, like weekends, gatherings and stuff like that, it's like I'm, you know, sometimes you just you do what you can, and it doesn't make that, in terms of your like weight loss and stuff, it doesn't make that big of a deal. Like thank God I'm not like some people who like go hardcore keto or carnivore, zero sugar, because like they have to, because like if they eat a little bit of something, then it causes like major you know, health issues for them. So like I have at least like some flexibility, but yeah, no, like I don't want to cheat for like, yeah, basic stuff. Like I know I'm going to be cheating Christmas Eve. So that's what, tomorrow. I'm going to go to my mom's house. She's going to make Jewish apple cake. And it's just like, I'm not going to eat the Jewish apple cake. Like that's one of like, my favorite like childhood desserts of all time. So like, I'll probably have a slice of that, but, and that, I think you actually enjoy dessert more when you don't have sugar all the time. Like when you have sugar all the time, then it's just like, you're just doing it from like sort of like this, like the sugar, like cravings and whatnot. And just like, I'm just, you know, mindlessly consuming sugar, where like when you haven't had sugar in like 2 weeks and you have like one piece of, you know, something you really enjoy, then you actually can savor it and enjoy it. I mean, it's not that like, it's gotten easier for me to do that. And maybe there's actually something to that where like you get more disciplined with sugar if you view it as like a treat once in a while. And then like, you just tell yourself like, there's something psychologically different with, like, I can't have sugar. And then, like, if you cheat and have it, then you're, like, you know, like, you can just kind of, like, completely give up with what you're doing. Whereas if you just sort of, like, allow yourself that little bit of, like, a cheat day once in a while and don't make it a big deal and just say, I'm going to have this now and just, you know, be clean for another week or two after that, it's a lot easier. You don't, like, psych yourself up so much about it and start craving that stuff in the middle of the week.
No, I agree. It's, like, again, sugar is like a drug. I know it's like lame to say, but it's fucking true. So like if you, it's a habit. So like if you just don't eat it for 9 days, your brain stops craving the sugar. So like it's just, don't do it for 9 days. It's not that big of a fucking deal. like just don't, again, you don't need it.
It's like, really, yeah, I'm also like the first two, like for me, always like the first 2 days or maybe like where I have to exert the most willpower to like, no, I'm not.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but then after that, like, it's really not that hard. And really, it's just, I don't know if this is the same for you. For me, I think part of what helped me on my weight loss journey and getting healthy was realizing that so much of what I was doing was just eating because I was bored. Mm-hmm. And I was bored because I was not doing enough with my life. Like, I wasn't being active enough as a man to pursue goals, do things with my family and church and stuff like that. So, like, now, on one hand, like, it can be exhausting making my schedule filled with crap. But on the other hand, like, I'm happier now. Like, I'm happier just keeping my life busy and filling my life with stuff that is actually, like, productive rather than, like, just doing the work. And, yeah, I had my podcast, but that doesn't take that much time. And so, like, and it was easy to just kind of, like, get into that mindset of, like, I just come home, I have nothing to do. So you just sit on the couch and what do? You're going to snack or something.
It's like a compulsion. You're like, oh, I just want to fucking do it because I'm bored. I think, and this is gonna, I mean, whatever, this is not like a new revelation I'm saying, but like, especially as men, it's super important for us to stay in shape and get healthy, especially as we get older, especially like for your kids, like lives, for the betterment of their life, for your wife's life. You know, it's like we are kind of the ticking clock of the family, so it's like we gotta keep that shit up. Like if like, that's why you see so many older people who look like fucking gremlins. Like they're hunched over and they because your body starts to atrophy, your muscles collapse on himself, and like if you don't keep that strong base. And that's why, especially weight training as dudes, as we get older, it's so fucking important, because we need to do that. Like we just do, it just is what it is. And like people just will find every excuse in the book. It's like, oh, I can't do this because I'm working. Yeah, bro, everybody works. Like you can also not eat how you eat and like do sit-ups and shit at your house. Like you don't need a fucking a full gym. Like I'm podcasting from the office of the gym I'm at right now. but you don't need all that. You can do basic shit. And just, if you're disciplined with your eating, like you'll be fine. It just, excuses are kill everybody. It's the fucking worst. Like, don't be excuses. Just fucking do it. And once you start to do it too, you feel better. Like, you feel way better about yourself. Like, it's like, you're like, oh shit, I was fat. Like, I feel better not having this extra weight on me. It's like, yeah, man, no fucking kidding. Like, dude, of course you do.
Well, the other thing I do to motivate myself sometimes is just like go look at old photos of yourself and just be like, I don't want to be that fat dude anymore.
Yeah, I go back
and look at like old podcasts, like back from when I was still doing the Daniel 3 podcast, and like I get to see it in my face, man. Like just how wide the bottom of like my face was, how bloated, like in like, you know, like everything's just more swollen and puffy and whatnot. Yeah, exactly. So it's less like, you know, you don't want to go back to that. The other thing, I don't know if this applies to you, like how healthy were your parents, like your dad and your grandfather?
My dad's 69 and my dad's still pretty jacked.
Okay.
My mom is a fat Italian from Brooklyn. so she doesn't want to better herself at all. Like she has, like they're the same age, my parents. And my dad looks 1,000, not to knock my mom, but it's just the truth. I mean, I tell her this to her fucking face. I'm like, you gotta get better, but she won't. She's in her habits. You know, my uncle died young. That's her brother, because he was fucking out of shape. My grandfather made it till to his 80s, but like, you know, he wasn't like in shape either. He was just like a big strong guy, but like he wasn't like in shape. My mom, once like she had me, she just fucking let it all go, and that was it. And it's like my dad still works out like every day, like at like the gym. Like
he's
69. He'll be 70 in April.
Good for him.
Yeah, no, I know. He's like a motivation to keep fucking working out. But it's discipline. It's also like inherited too, like you said. Like I could have went my mom's route and been like, well, you know, who gives a fuck, whatever. Or I look at my dad and I'm like, well, he's doing it. Why can't I fucking do it? I'm 38. Why can't I do it? It's an excuse. So just do it. And he looks great. Yeah.
Well, for me, I had the opposite motivation. It's more of a, like, don't do what my parents do. So both my parents are wildly out of shape, so many health issues. My dad, when he was only in his, like, 40s, he had multiple ruptured discs. Like, I think all of his discs up to, like, the very top one, like, right at, like, the base of the neck were herniated and ruptured, and he's, like, fused with, like, titanium plates the whole way up. And he did the same thing as me. Like, he worked on cars, but he didn't take care of himself. He didn't eat healthy. He just abused the crap out of his body.
Right.
And so, you know, and then, you know, at a ripe age of like 40 or something, he's got to get this major surgery. Now, I don't know if he actually, like, knowing what I know now, I'm like, okay, like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he probably did need the surgery if they were ruptured, but there was probably like a lot of warning signs along the way where like he could have just like got in shape, gone through like rehab and physical therapy and stuff and not needed it. Who knows? I'm not a doctor. I mean, you know, so I can't even.
What?
I can't even assess if you're a girl or not. So, I mean, you look like one, but.
I have two bulging discs in my neck, but that's from years of football. Like, yeah. That's why. It's from me getting my head fucking bounced off of people for forever. And they won't even do surgery on me. They'll just like live with that pain forever. I'm like, sick. So like I'm just fucked with it. But working out though does still strengthen the muscles around my neck that makes it feel better. So like I'll get headaches and shit for sure, because it pushes on your nerves and like nothing you can do about that. That just goes right up to your head. But working out staves off like the pain for sure. Like, it definitely does. Like, I'm fucked up all... Dude, I have a pulled muscle in my forearm or something like that. I tore my plantellus tendon a few months ago in my leg, which is, like, super rare. Your plantellus tendon is so rare to tear where, first of all, only 70% of people even have one. 30% of people just evolved away from it. It's like, we don't even need it anymore. It's like the appendix of your leg. And when I went to the orthopedic, I thought it was my Achilles. I was running. I was, like, sprinting. And I heard a pop, and I was like... And the people I was with were like joking. They thought I hit my shoes together, and they're like making jokes. I'm like, no, guys, seriously, I think I'm hurt. like I can't put pressure on it. So I go to the orthopedic and get my MRI. I go back to the orthopedic and they're like calling in the other doctors, and I'm like, what am I dying? What the fuck? And they're like, this is so rare to tear. it's like unheard of. And I was like, oh, what happens now? And they're like, nothing. You just wear a boot.
You just
deal
with it.
Sick. Okay. They're like, well, it's not worth surgery. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I don't want surgery. But yeah, but like, I'm always hurt. I just push through it. It's another thing about being a man. You don't get to be like, I'm hurt. I gotta stop. It's like, nah, dude, like, just push through that shit. Like, it's gonna be fine. I just push through the pain. Like, work out. Like, playing football for so long, especially doing like MMA and shit, it's like, there's a difference between being hurt and injured. Mm. You know, like, if you're injured, it's like, no, like, I can't walk. I tore my tendon. Hurt is like, I'm sore. It's like, yeah, dude, we're all fucking sore. Work out. Like, it's not an excuse to not do
it. You get less sore. Like, yeah, I mean, my job's physical, and like, it. Granted, you do have to really like just grit your teeth and push through the initial like couple weeks, maybe month or two, depending on how out of shape you are. But I am so much less sore at my job now than I used to be, even though I work out. You know, I mean, I'm not working out every day. Probably like 3 to 4 times a week is about what I can manage. Although I still try to do stuff at home as much as I can. But like, having less weight on my body, on my muscles, and like, I would probably just wore out. Like, wouldn't have mattered if my job wasn't physical. When you weigh too much, you wear yourself out just existing because you have too much weight pulling on everything and in wrong places, and so you're unbalanced and just
it fucks
everything
your joints
screwed
up so bad. Like your knees, like you can't breathe. Put pressure on your lungs. Like, this is why if you love your friends, you should fat shame your friends. Like, you should absolutely fat shame people you love because that shit works. And it's like, you want them to live? Be like, you're gross. Stop being gross. Reverse that. Figure it out. Like, help them along the way. Don't be like, no, you look good. That's a woman thing, too. They'll be like, you know, oh, you look, it's like, you're just killing each other. Just be like,
oh, no,
dude, you're
dude,
gross.
My wife fat shamed me. That was part of it too, man.
Yes, she loves you.
She took pictures of me at the pool that like we were all hanging out with like, some like friends from church, and she took pictures of me like bending over, and I was like, oh, okay, nope, all done. All, I was like, I knew I was bad. I don't know if it was that bad. I was like, at any point in time, we're like during like the process, we're like, or she sees me like cutting back, she's like, Jacob, do I need to pull up the pictures from the pool again? I'm like, nope.
it's like a torture. Do you want the pictures? I'll show the picture. Like, no, I'm sorry. Post that shit online. That's what you should do to really fucking hold yourself to the fire. Be like, this was me bending over at a pool party. I never want to get this way again. That's what you should fucking do. Dude, I know.
Yeah, I really should.
That shit really does work, though. Like, I'm in shape, and I'm still, like, scared to take my shirt off at the pool. I was in Mexico for Thanksgiving week, and I was like, I was fat shaming myself in my brain, and I'm in shape. I was like, do I take my shirt off at the pool? Or like, am I too fat for this? Like, I always have that mindset of like, just you're fat. Just yeah, always
dude,
be fat.
There's some kind of weird like body dysmorphia when you've been overweight where like if I'm, you know, topless or like in the shower or something, I look down, like I don't notice the difference just looking at my body. I'll still feel like everything's as big as it used to be. You look in the mirror and you're like, okay, no, it's actually not that bad. Like, you know, I still have probably like another like 15-20 pounds that I want to lose and bulk up a little bit. But like compared to where I was, like, you know, I like if I was on the outside, like looking at myself, I wouldn't be that embarrassed to take my shirt off. It's just more of like a mental thing. Like I can't, I got my brain hasn't caught up to my body yet in a way.
Cause when you look down, you respect, it's like, you're like, do I have tits? What the fuck's going on? It's like, no, I just have like a muscly chest. Cause if you look in the mirror, it's like, obviously, you know, you're like, oh, I can see a definition. But when you're looking down, you're like, my fucking fat tits and gut are covering my small dick. And you're like, oh, dude, it's not that bad when you look in the front on shot of yourself, you know?
But dude, it's so bad. Like we don't trust my dad to like do stuff with our kids because he's not physically able to do anything. Like he can't, like, it's like, dad, if you take them to like the mall or to the park and like they try running away from you, or God forbid, like someone tries to take them, I was like, you there's nothing you can do.
He's like, I didn't make new ones. Don't worry about it. You got 5. You lose one, right, you got 4.
But it's just like, I don't want to do that. I want for my kids when I get older and my grandkids, like I want to be able to keep up with them and do stuff with them and whatnot, like, and have a high quality of life.
Like you would think you don't want your kids to be like, when they're in the playground, be like, yeah, it's my daddy's fat. You know, it's like, you don't want that. Like, cause kids will say that to you. Like, yo, you're fat, dad.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. Like, we homeschool our kids, and so I have to like sometimes fill that role for my kids. And I've had to like explain this to my wife, because like sometimes she's like, "You're being mean to them." I'm like, "Yeah, no, honey, I'm not even being a tenth of the like level of meanness exactly. that like if he was in public school he'd be getting." Yeah. It was like this is part of what men do. It's like we roast each other, we're merciless with each other, we're brutal to each other, and like that's kind of what pushes you to toughen up a little bit. And like that, you know, it's like, you know, the difference between hazing and bullying, right? Like you haze your friends, you give them crap because like it's that's sort of the way that you push them to get better or like round them out. It's not just like because you hate their guts or anything.
I have a buddy, he's like 22, 23. He's a personal trainer. And he's like 6'3". He's a big guy, right? Like, and we always make fun of each other, like being like close to their fat, even though we're not. It's just, you know, again, like you said, just dudes being dudes. And I'll just wake up sometimes with a text from him being like, "You're fat, gay, and retarded. Do better." I'm like, "Thanks, man. Yeah, I gotta hit the gym extra hard today." Because it motivates you in a weird, like, competitive way where you're like, "Yeah, he's right. I am fat, gay, and retarded. I gotta go to the gym and, like, work out extra hard today." It does work. That's what I'm saying. Like, that shit does work. And, like, Jay Forte just said in the comments, make bullying great again. I'm a fan of, like, I don't like bullies for, like, I don't like bullies, but I think bullying is good. I don't know how to phrase this without contradicting myself. Like, if you're just telling someone to kill themselves, it's like, that's not cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't do that. But like, if you're with your friends, you're like, "You're fucking gross. Like, you know, your tits are huge. Fucking do a push-up, you fat piece of shit." You're like, that's kind of positive bullying. Like, you don't want to just bully some kid you don't know. That's like just being mean. You know, it's like two different things. You just got to find the balance. Like, don't bully strangers, I guess, is my point.
Yeah, I mean, you have to like actually know the person first. Actually, like, you know, it's funny. It's like it's the men and women are so different. It's like the opposite trajectory. It's like men, we start out nice and cordial, then the more we know each other, the more we treat each other like crap. Whereas women, it's like they treat each other like crap, and then when they finally get to know each other, then they'll start being all buddy buddy and stuff. But like, if women don't know each other, they're just like they're like mortal enemies, and they think the worst of each other.
I have a group chat. And what's the name of this fucking group chat? Where is it? It's the name of the group chat is the group chat that starts out cordial, then aggressive, then gay. And it's like, it's exactly what that is. Like, it'll be like, "Hey guys, what's going on?" Like, you know, whatever. And then it's like, "You're a fat fucking loser." And you're like, "All right." And then it'll get super gay out of nowhere. You're like, "Yeah, that's the circle of man friendship right there."
I think that's kind of why Trump has become so like, had this like resurgence in a way, is because he sort of embodies, and like the people around him, they sort of embody this sort of like return to sort of like, and like literally this was like the meme, right? It was like people were like playing like what, like the all like the hits from like the 90s and stuff, like play like YMCA music at like gatherings and stuff. And it's just like, yeah, like it's kind of returned to like what like sort of like American cultural values and norms that existed before like wokeness took over. And I mean, that does seem to be when people were kind of at their like healthiest, like mentally. I mean, listen, like as a Christian, I believe that like, you know, there's like forces of darkness in the world, and there's a lot of messed up crap, and this world has fallen. And like you, I think comedy and culture are sort of like, there's sort of three things you can do when you stare into the darkness. You can let it consume you. You can hide from it, or you can laugh at it. And right, like, you know, and just like diminish it. I think as a Christian, it's like, especially if you're a Christian, you should be like, "Well, the Bible says Jesus has overcome." I don't know why I started doing a Southern drawl there. The Bible says that Jesus has overcome everything, including death. So it's like, I don't believe any of this stuff can hurt me. I'm just going to laugh at it. I'm going to ridicule it. I'm going to oppose it, you know, call it out. But at the end of the day, it's like you can either go through life and be, you know, someone who is a light in the darkness, or you can like just be down and gloomy all the time. And there's a time to be serious, but there's something about like, I think that's what Trump has tapped into, is that like people are sort of tired of the either like, you know, wokeifying everything or just like the doomering of everything. And Trump's sort of like recapturing that sort of like, you know, kind of like masculine energy of just like, you know, rising above it and doing it with a little bit of charisma and comedy.
Have you talked to like a teenager lately, like at all? Like they yeah. are soft. Like there's no other way to, they're soft. Like if you say gay, retarded, like you can't say that. I'm like, I just did. What are you going to fucking do about it? like it's just like there's growing up in the 90s was rough. Like it just, I'm sure the 80s and 70s were the same, but like it was like you walk down to the street, you play football, you do whatever, you have neighborhood bullies just being, and like it toughens you up. Like you just gotta, yeah. You gotta think quick on your feet, be quick with the comeback, or like get ready to fucking throw hands like at 10 years old. Like, you know, like all that shit applies. And that makes you stronger.
It's a good correction. Like I remember Jordan Peterson talking about this. It's like social hazing at that time period when you're growing up prevents you from becoming a narcissist. And yes. Isn't that like such a good description of the status quo, where like what leads to all of this, what I call like radical, like individualism, where people like worship their self perception. And if you like, you know, like just disagreeing with their self perception is seen as a form of like hate or violence or bullying. It's like, oh, it's just, it's weaponized, like, ideologic, narcissism on a massive scale, subsidized and encouraged by public education and the pharmaceutical companies that are like, hey, we can make a profit out of like making like incentivizing this weird narcissism in everyone that then makes them dependent upon like, hey, what's going to help you feel better is, you know, taking hormones and cross-sex hormones the rest of your life and, you know, making yourself chemically, pharmaceutically dependent upon the system in order to survive. I mean, it's literally just like, what's the meme? Like you will own nothing and you'll be fat you know, addicted to like five different drugs and you'll just be happy with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing. No, you're right. There's, well, I think that's also why like Gen Z or Gen Alpha, whatever the fuck you want to call them, are like really weak. And I think it's because of Gen X, like fuck them up. That's their parents pretty much, right? Like, I know like now it's kind of tapping into like millennials too a little bit, like where are the parents, but still mainly I would say it's Gen X kind of group, and they just helicopter the fucking parent, whatever, their kids like so hard. And they never taught them to just be like, yeah, go fight that bully. Like it's always like, go to an adult, go to a cop, go to the principal, go to a teacher. It's like they never gave them the tools to just learn how to deal with adversity. As opposed to like me, where my dad was like, oh, that kid bullied you. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, did you fight him? It's like, no. He's like, well, try that. And then come back to me and let me know how that goes. It's like, all right. And then you fight the bully and they have bullying you. And you're like, oh shit, that works. Like it does.
Well, that was the one good thing. My dad was not a good example for personal health, but he did embody that attitude and instill that sort of sentiment in me. You know, I mean, because now he grew up in Baltimore. He was a white, fair-skinned Jew living in inner city Baltimore post like the end of segregation. So like he was in like basically a predominantly black school, and he got like bullied like nothing I have ever I don't know what your life experience is, but like I got bullied. I didn't get bullied anything like what my dad did. Like my dad got stabbed. All right. Like
assault. That's not bullying.
It's like, yeah, it was always annoying as a kid. Like you come home and you're like, oh, they're picking me. You're like, yeah, did you get stabbed? Like,
well, I got stabbed,
no.
Bitch. Right.
He's like, yeah. Then stop crying. You're okay.
No, I got bullied as a kid too, because I was like nerdy in the sense of like, I like, this is before comic books were cool. It's like the 90s when they were still not cool, and I was very much into comic books, and my dad got me into comic books. My dad was also fucking jacked at the time when I was a kid, like, you know, so like he didn't give a shit. He was married and had a kid, so I'm like Spider-Man, and people are like, yay, and now that's like the coolest shit in the world. And I'm like, I had to earn the fucking like of comic books. Like, you guys just walked into that world. So like I would get bullied, even though I was, you know, even in high school, like, yeah, I was playing football. Yeah, I was good. But it's like outside of game day, I got fucking made fun of. I didn't fit in with like the fucking jock crowd, even though I was myself a jock. Like, I just didn't fit in with that mentality. So I would get bullied. That's why I started learning. That's how I learned MMA, by the way, just because I always get bullied in high school. And it was never physical. It was like just emotional, like a verbal abuse, really. But yeah. When like 18 hit, I was like, yeah, I'm going to learn how to fight, like for real. And then I started doing MMA, and then I was like, say that shit again. You fucking kick someone's fucking skull and you're like, yeah, dude, it doesn't work that way anymore. And, you know, and then also fighting gives you confidence too. Like learning how to defend yourself is like a major confidence boost. Because I'm not trying to blow myself, but it's like most dudes don't know how to fight. And I've been doing this since I was 18. I'm 38. So 20 years I've been fucking doing MMA and sparring and shit. And like just knowing that that's a tool in your back pocket to have is fucking great. Because, yeah, the goal is never to fight. But like sometimes you can't get out of those situations. Like people just want to push the fucking issue. And it's like, well, if it comes down to it, I'm going to fuck you up. And you're going to be in a real world pain, dude. Like. It's just good to know.
It doesn't even need to be like even just fighting, wrestling with friends, or just like just be getting from a young age experience with your aggression, you know, your more aggressive, more physical side, and kind of like learning what your limits are. Like, I think that's kind of if you don't learn that as a kid, you're going to become an adult and probably learn it in a really bad, you know, or at least risk learning it in a really bad, unfortunate way. Because like I like that. I think Jordan Peterson talks about this. He's like, there's nothing more like nefarious than a weak man who, like, instead of ever learning how to like express aggression in the right way, just like suppresses it his whole life until like he snaps as an, like, and like those are the people that, like, you know, just like, go off one day and like kill their family or kill their coworkers or spouses or something like that. And it's like, that's because like they just repressed all that instead of learning how to sort of like integrate you know, that part of themselves. They just like denied it, pretended it didn't exist, and then it like reasserts itself. But it's like they never, like, it's like a, if you were to be given a, like, imagine like you went through your whole life and like you just had one arm, and then all of a sudden you're given another arm, and then you try to use it for the first time, like you wouldn't know how to use it correctly. And that's sort of like, that's what aggression is. Like, I don't think, and this is tough. I think sometimes Christians, because like we're told to like turn the other cheek and stuff, it's like, that doesn't mean that you lack the capacity for aggression. It just means that you keep your aggression under like control. You know when to use it.
Right.
You have a more, like, you learn a sophisticated, as an adult, you learn sophisticated ways to express your aggression. And it's not. But it's still a tool in your tool belt, right? You still, like, you, that's part of being a man. I guess women can be aggressive too in their own different ways. I mean, like, you know,
but
I mean, if you had,
does, they can't physically
you
overpower
Italian
you though.
Mom, I'm sure your Italian mom sometimes would
my Italian mom
speak to you in an aggressive way.
Definitely did that. But there's like, you know, obviously I'm Catholic, so we're all under the same umbrella, but it's like, you know, like you just said, like, oh, turn another cheek. It's like, hey, man, Jesus needs soldiers too. You know what I'm saying? It's like God also has archangels to handle his business. Like, I'm not put on this earth to be like to judge you. That's their job. That's God's job. And, you know, up there, my job sometimes is to put you in your fucking place. That's how I look at it, you know? And it's like, I'm not just going to always turn my other cheek, especially for some verbal shit, who gives a fuck. But like, you got to be the protector of your family, like, as a man. Like, my wife, yeah, she'll give me shit, but she knows if, like, shit goes down, she's, like, she's safe. Like, I'll take care of whatever I got to take care of. Like, she knows that, and that makes her comfortable, like, for sure.
The Bible says that someone who does not provide for his family is worse than an unbeliever. So it's, like, part of providing for your family is, like, protecting. Like, you cannot, like, just, it is logically impossible to provide for your family if you are dead or if they're dead. Like, right. So like, that's like the most basic element of provision is protection. I think turn the other cheek has more to do with, like, there's a difference between defense and revenge, right? Like, I'll defend my family. Now, I might not go and seek out revenge for every slight that happens to me.
Right.
But if someone's like actually, like, you know, posing a threat to my family, then that's going to be dealt with, and that threat's going to, you know, one way or the other, resolve itself.
You gotta protect the flock. Essentially, like, you gotta protect the flock. Flock in this instance is your family. You can't let people bully. Like, you can't. Like, my wife is like she's a Catholic school teacher, for Christ's sake, and she still like lets people kind of walk all over. I'm like, hey, you gotta I understand you can't like fight people in a fucking school set. I'm not saying to do that, but like you got to stand up for yourself. Like that's just basic. Again, and that's not non-religious. Like that, Jesus wouldn't be like, yeah, just get bullied. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like you got to stand up for yourself. Like you just, she just doesn't want confrontation. I'm like, it just comes to you though. Like you can't just go through life being like, I don't want to get involved. It's like if another person in your school is like actively coming
Jesus
after you.
Jesus was incredibly confrontational.
That's what I'm saying.
He wasn't. Exactly. Yeah, he wasn't like fist fighting people. Although he did make some whips and flip some tables and chase people out of the temple.
Yeah.
But you know, he wasn't like, again, like, yeah, like, listen, I'm a libertarian and a Christian. So it's like, yeah, I'm not saying we should go around like fighting everybody for real, but we need to be, and this is biblical language. Like we need to be warriors for the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And that means that like, so yeah, do we fight with weapons that are different than this world? Yes. But that's still fighting. Like, we're not just going around, like, you know, like monks all the time, just kind of like, hey, could you guys please stop doing this evil stuff? We'd really appreciate it. Like, hey, Israel, could you please stop, like, killing hundreds of thousands of Palestinian women and children and whatnot?
Yeah.
Like, it really hurts our feelings, and we really think you need to stop. Like, no, like, sorry. Yeah. Like when Jesus confronted the Pharisees and, like, the people who were wicked, he called them hypocrites and brood of vipers and said that, he called them whitewashed. I love it. He called them whitewashed tombs, meaning like you're pretty on the inside, but everything on inside is dead,
right,
and unclean and everything. It's like, so Jesus was not like, you know, unwilling to tangle with people and to, you know, to fight against evil and injustice. And I think like there's definitely something frustrating about like, and again, this is, it's not that I'm saying Trump is perfect in this, I think part of what people like about him is that he's at least like bringing a backbone to sort of like what, like for the longest time, Christianity and conservatism in America has had no backbone. And mm-hmm. Trump's like, enough with that. We're going to have a backbone and we're going to fight. Still, there's a lot of stuff that's wrong and, you know, like a lot of policy complaints and whatnot, but like, but at least, like, you can understand why people are latching onto it, I think.
We're going to annex Greenland, dude. That's going to be sick.
Oh, yeah. Crap.
No, but we do need that tough embodiment again. We've become too weak as an... And again, obviously, we're not saying we're pro-war or anything. I'm just saying, like, you still don't want other countries to be like, America's a bunch of fucking pussies, huh? It's like, you know, it's like, no, dude. Like, we're still... Got to be the top dogs. Like, I don't give a fuck. I still want to be looked at as like the big boy on the block, not some little fucking poodle anymore. And that's what we've been for a long time. Again, I'm not saying let's go bomb other countries. I'm just saying like, at least Trump brings that like, actually, no, we're not doing that. And they were like, wait, what do you mean? It's like, no, we're actually not going to do that. We're actually going to back out of that treaty or whatever. And people are like, you can't. He's like, I just fucking did. And it was like, all right. I guess that's done now, you know, and like it benefits us, or it seems to benefit us a lot. The whole like soft invasion of Mexico talk going on right now, it's like do I want to invade Mexico? No, of course not. But do I mind if a bunch of cartels get wiped off the planet? Not really, you know. It's like, I know that was a whole can of worms. I understand it's not so cut and dry. I'm just saying like, I don't give a shit about evil being wiped off the planet is my point. And cartels are fucking evil. Like,
yeah, I will say like, so I've interacted a lot with like Christian nationalists with my new podcast, the Biblical Anarchy Podcast with the Libertarian Christian Institute. And like, we disagree in a lot when it comes to theology, when it comes to politics. But one thing I do at least concede to them is sort of the point you're making where it's like, listen, you know, I haven't changed. You know, I'm a libertarian. I'm philosophically an ANCAP. Like, I don't really believe in the legitimacy of the state to do anything. But, like, if the state's going to exist and it's going to do something, like, I'm not going to have the same level of outrage for, like, let me give you two examples. If the state is banning people from going to church, I'm outraged at that. COVID lockdowns, like, that was
right.
Outrageous. If the church is like locking people up for like pernit, like not like your dude getting high on weed in like a public setting or something, but like someone who's like actively trying to hand like hard drugs to like minors or like even like young men who like don't know what they're doing. It's like, I don't know, like I don't necessarily have the same level of moral outrage over that, or like same with like immigration. Like, this isn't like, yeah, listen, some of the people coming here are just like, yeah, they're fleeing bad circumstances. You can feel for them. But like a lot of the people that are coming here are just like, they're
lighting homeless women fires on New York City subway trains.
There's a lot of human trafficking. There's a lot of importing of people who, like, they're not coming from Mexico. They're coming from like Iran or the UAE or like just like random places across the world. We're just like, how did you get here? Like, how did you end up on the other side of our border, illegally crossing it? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
And so, or like, for example, like, now, do I think it's going to work out? Probably not. But like when the state banned pornography or like Pornhub or like OnlyFans or like certain states have done that, it's like, like, would I go and like make that my issue? Like, I think the state needs to do this. No. Am I going to get like, or actually the perfect example is abortion. Like when a state bans abortion and other libertarians cry about it, I'm just like, sorry. I mean, first of all,
don't care. Yeah, I don't care.
It's being solved at the state level, which is kind of what I think should be done anyway. And sorry, like, maybe it's not the most effective solution, but I'm just like, you cannot convince me to oppose, like I cannot with the same veracity, the same intensity, oppose abortion bans as I do like genocide in Gaza. Like these things don't, these do not equate.
Well, that's the thing, especially the abortion thing. It's like, oh no, I'm not a libertarian because I don't want you to murder a baby. Oh no, I don't give a fuck what you call it. You know, it's like, I'm going to defend the innocent baby being murdered by your fucking demon woman in your fucking state. Like, I don't care what that makes me then. Like, if I'm not a libertarian because of that, cool, whatever, dude. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm always going to take the side of the innocent, not the side of you just being like, oh, I fucked. Oh, well, I'll let some guy raw. It's like, that's the thing. All, especially men, it's like, you're arguing for what, your daughters to get raw dogged and came in? Like, it's fucking gross, dude. Like, that's your argument? That's what you're doing. That's the hill you're gonna die on? It's just like, I don't care. Like, again, the same thing with like pedophiles. Like just pull them out back and fucking shoot them in the head. Like, the state's gonna exist. We're not gonna get rid of it. We're just not. It's not going anywhere. We're never gonna get rid of it. I don't give a shit how many, it does not matter. It's not going anywhere. At least do good things like that. We're not even doing that. Like, you know, we're arresting Daniel Penny because he choked out a crazy guy, but then some guy will, like, you know, sexually assault three children. Like, ah, well, he was crazy, so, you know, we'll let him out. It's like, what the fuck are we doing? So that's why the state's fucked. But if the state was just constantly being like, oh, this guy had sex with a four-year-old, kill him. You're like, there you go. But that's not happening at all. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's hard to justify, but like, I also,
it's a catch 22,
yeah,
because like, it's a, 'cause like, on one hand, I know the state is going to screw that stuff up, and it, mm-hmm, and it sort of like lends itself to, like, more often than not, the state incentives are going to be to enforce, like to make what is evil good and allowable, and to punish what's good in the long term. But I don't know. It's just like, we can't fight every battle the same, and there's just other problems that are more systemic and like more central. Like, it's more important to kind of like end the wars, oppose the Federal Reserve, oppose, like we got to pick like the four or five most important things and just focus on them. And if there's little compromises along the way of like, and yeah, are we going to eliminate the state? I don't know, dude. How about we just start by like getting back to the Constitution? Like, that even seems like impossible, but like, that's a more realistic starting goal, right? Like, let's just get back to the Constitution, and then like, hey, if we get that far, cool, yeah, then we can talk about what else we can do. But like, just getting politicians to obey the Constitution again, I mean, I sound like a crazy person even saying we could potentially do that.
No, I know.
We live in like the biggest state in the world, and like, yeah, I'm very careful to say philosophically I'm an ANCAP. We're not like, this is partly my Christian convictions too. Like, I kind of agree with you. Like, I don't know if we're like, I don't when some anarchists get like, oh, like all we have to do is just like educate people and just write more books and just be super principled. And then one day everyone will wake up and realize that libertarianism is right. And then we'll live in a stateless society. I'm just like, dude, you talking about libertarianism makes me not want to be a libertarian because you make it either sound like a cult or like some weird like fan fiction thing or like, I don't know. Like, it's just like you make it sound so dumb and childish. Like, and I'm sorry, like libertarianism needs to either be a grown up philosophy that deals with the real world or I don't just cease to exist. I obviously like I'm still libertarian. I just think it like libertarians need to grow up. There's so many libertarians that like it's just they stopped at like libertarianism 101.
Right.
And it's like they learned physics and they're like, oh wow, I learned that force equals like you know, like you know, mass times accelerator. It's just like, okay, but like now learned applied physics.
Right.
Physics is a lot harder, dude.
Right.
Like, learning how to apply principles in the real world is kind of like, I don't know, part of growing up and being an adult. Like, you can't just show up to be like a construction worker or like an engineer and be like, oh, well, I learned basic physics, so I'm qualified now. It's like, no, you're not. Like,
libertarianism is like driving, where it's like, yeah, man, if everyone also was able to drive, there'd never be traffic or accidents. But that ain't the way. So it's like people just will inherently not care. I mean, talk to the average person on the fucking street or in the gym or whatever, and people are like, I don't know what any of that is. And you're like, sick. All right. Like, I'm not, what am I going to be like? Well, you know, fucking Hoppe said, it's like, they don't give a shit. They don't care. They're like, where's my next paycheck coming from? Who's going to not tax me the most? That's where I'm paying attention to.
That's the same thing when I like I had a coffee with like my associate pastor and we were like talking politics. He was like, so what's this whole anarchy thing? Explain it to me. And it was just like, by the time the word Rothbard came in my mouth, you could already tell he's just like, whoosh.
You're right. Like, a check. Fuck it. I don't care.
Yeah. So it's just like
the Giants game.
So it's like, yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I still care about this stuff, but like, we have to just, I don't know. Like, listen, this is true of every improvement over history. Like, if you go back to 1776, the majority of the population didn't know Thomas Paine. Didn't know of like all of the like Enlightenment philosophy that went into the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. It was a small minority of people who did kind of like move the needle, but they did it by like working within what they had and forming coalitions and just like, and they just kept fighting till they got it done. And they made, like, listen, there's a lot of compromises in the Constitution, right? They had to compromise with the Southern states. You had the 2/3 compromise,
right?
You know, all sorts of things that like weren't perfect, but like it was an important development in the right direction. But like, you know, I guess if libertarians existed back then, they would have been like, nope, screw up. We'll just keep living under the monarchy.
Right. Yeah. Which, honestly, we should just go back to that. Just blame it all on the king. Take him out back. Fucking get a new one in there. Yeah, dude, it's also, I think, part of the evolution of, like, libertarian. It's, like, realizing, like, this isn't going to, yes, in theory, of course, it's great, but it's just not going to work. It's just not going to ever be applied to public, like, performance. It's not going to happen. Again, the majority of people are like, where's my next paycheck coming from? Taxes dropping, can I fucking spend money with my time on my family and kids? It's like they don't give a shit about like, well, if you don't spend money on this and you can spend money on this, because if we don't have a government, they're like, I don't give a fuck, like, get me more money. And you're like, yeah, you're right. Like, I don't know where to go.
Okay, so one of the biggest things was like, I don't even remember when like Dave triggered a bunch of the real principled quote-unquote libertarians, because he said, let's just bring all the troops home and just redeploy them on our border to secure our borders.
Right.
And like, listen, I still tend to be a little like, I have a little like a libertarian autist allergy, you could say, to like closed borders, because like, I just, for me, it's more of a like, I don't think that, I just don't trust them to do it. Like, I think like they're too incentivized to want to let people in and sort of benefit from the chaos, right? Like, it's a sort of like anarcho-tyranny, and it's like the incentives are not to end the anarcho-tyranny, because it allows them to, like, it's a perpetual, there's a problem that you need us to solve, like, and the state's not going to solve the problem because then they couldn't keep on doing their power grabs and justifying, you know, increased budgets and whatnot. It's public choice theory and all that. But, like, just rhetorically speaking, I'm like, well, hold on. Like, you're saying we would end being an empire and just be a republic again, put the troops, redeploy the troops to some capacity, just enforcing the border? Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, that sounds like a step in the right direction. And everyone's just, like, freaking out. And I just, like, that's kind of the moment I realized, like, you know what? Yeah, like, Dave is, like, probably the most popular libertarian in the world right now.
Yeah.
Other than, I guess Malay's kind of, I don't know, you could argue about that, I guess, suppose, but he's certainly one of the most influential and popular here in America, and he's out there making an argument to conservatives and saying, like, hey, we'll just bring all the troops home and secure our borders, and they're like, yeah, let's do that. And then there's libertarians going like, no, that's not principled. I'm just like, dude, like, what are your principles? Like,
right.
What are your principles? My principles are, how about we have less death and just like make things better as much as we can. Like, have a little bit more liberty here at home. Like, it's not going to be perfect. Let's just try to make it better.
Right.
If you're not about trying to make things better and you're just like, let's be perfectly principled while we're loaded up onto the boxcars, then, like, your principles are worthless, man.
Right. The border thing, too, is like, it's like, yeah, again, this goes to my abortion thing. It's like, oh, I'm not a libertarian because I don't want people just flooding in, setting people on fire, like, in New York City. So, oh, no, then call me whatever you want. It's like, let's be honest. How many times, especially now it's being amplified, you see so many people who are here illegally raping children, murdering people, getting into car accidents, killing cops by accident because they're drunk driving the wrong way. It's like, hey, man, this is a problem. And I don't give a shit if we close the borders down to solve this fucking problem.
Adam, the solution is just that if we lived in a fully anarcho-capitalist society, then movement of people will be regulated by private property rights. It's like,
right.
Yeah, cool. Okay, yeah. Cool, great.
Cool,
I agree with that even. Sure, but like...
Oh, sure, not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Like,
it's not going to happen.
Well, it doesn't help us right now.
Right. Stop these fucking literal animals from coming in who then get all the tax credits that I have to pay for or I go to jail if I don't pay my fucking taxes. Like, you know, it's like, why would I support that? Well, because it's a principle. Go fuck yourself. Like, it's such a delusional take. Like it's not happening. I want people to be safe.
It's because libertarianism is their religion. Like,
yeah.
Like for me and you, it's like libertarianism is like, yeah, that's kind of like the political philosophy I identify with. I think it's right. But like, it's not my religion. Like my identity is not wrapped up in these principles. My identity is wrapped up in God, my faith, my family, my community and whatnot. Like, it's like, I would prefer libertarianism to be the legal order we lived under, but like, I'm going to deal with what we live under now and do what's best, like, obviously always starting by doing what's best for me and my family and my community locally, and then expand it a little bit out from that. And, you know, again, and I'll go one further and be like, let's again war the Federal Reserve, like the currency problem, the debt,
right?
And then like health, like we were talking about earlier, because like the government is so involved in like all the wrong stuff. Like, we subsidize corn and we have sugar tariff. Like, so yeah, let's end the wars. Let's end the fiat currency system. Let's get people healthy again, fix healthcare and, you know, stop this, like, you know, mountainous debt. And like that, hey, those five things, it's already an uphill battle. Like, we're already, like, I've already stacked the deck against us, but I'm like, hey, those are important enough that like, let's just really try to focus and like consolidate resources and people and coalition to tackle those things.
That's first. Another thing I saw on Twitter where they were, apparently RFK wants to ban like Red Dye 40, and you have libertarians being right. I don't care. You have libertarians being like, what's next? Oh, I'm sorry. He wants to ban literal poison in your food. Like, wow, what a bad guy. Like, you're so fucking stupid, dude. It's like this is what we're arguing about?
I know.
Literal poison? Like, it's not good for you. Let him ban it. Well, then what's next? Soda? Ban that shit, too. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like
they already ban a lot of this stuff in Europe. And, like, I'm not saying Europe's a paradise, but, like, it's not like it. These people act like they are banning something that's going to cause some, like, massive side effect that completely like distorts or destroys like society causes like some massive like domino effect. I'm like, no, it's like we already see when this stuff's banned in Europe that like, yeah, like it's a socialized healthcare system. There's all sorts of problems, but like it's not like catastrophically bad, right? It's not like Europe fell apart because they banned, like they don't have high fructose corn syrup. They don't have all these dyes and additives. They use tallow and a bunch of their stuff still. It's just like, and yeah, like it's kind of like more of the same, except like not everyone over there is not like obese with all these different diseases and die. Half the reason their socialized healthcare works is because like they're just healthier than us.
Like,
they're not dying of heart disease and obesity related illnesses at like 40 and 50. So then like,
did you see that when those guys with the that guy and that woman was on Congress testifying with the Fruit Loops thing? And they showed the American Fruit Loops for the Canadian Fruit Loops. Bro, that looked like, I mean, night and day. It looked like a black and white picture next to like a fully colored picture. That was like, it was like the Wizard of Oz transitioning from black and white to fucking color. I was like, holy shit, this isn't our food. This is crazy. And then again, they can't ban that. Shut up.
If your principles lead to action paralysis, they're useless.
Yes.
That is just the conclusion I've come to. If your principles dictate that you can do nothing but complain on the sidelines, then your principles are useless. It's not like
you're shouting to avoid. Like,
I say this as a podcaster, right? Like I obviously spend a lot of time on education and writing, and like I think that's important, but that can't be all we do. Like we have to actually do something, and if like the compromise is like we end some wars and reduce the debt, and they banned red dye, it's like, I'll sleep like a baby.
I would not care at all. I would lose zero sleep over that. It's a fucking joke. You know, all those fucking schizo libertarians are they're just fucking dumb. It's like, what are you dying? What hell are you dying on? Like, you know, it's like, it's not worth it. It's worth it to die on the hell of like, let's save babies. Let's not poison our children. Let's not go to wars. That's the hells I'm willing to die on. Not like, but the border should be open. Shut up. Shut the fuck up. I don't want to hear it. It does nothing for you. That's the other thing too. You know what? How is a border being wide open benefit you? Go. And they're like, well, and they can't ever answer that question. It's because it doesn't benefit you directly at all. In 0% ways, does it?
Open borders are just, if you are for open borders, I almost think you're historically illiterate. Because 100%. Like every major tragedy, like anytime you hear about a people who like went through major oppression or major displacement or whatnot, like it involves some kind of like immigration and colonial forces that then like caused massive, you know, sometimes not like, you know, sometimes it's like just diseases and whatnot, but other times just like, you know, actual displacement. Like the Native Americans weren't a nation, but you could say that like, you know, they were a people and they had open borders. Like
dominated that shit.
I'm sure if you could go back to like Native Americans and like get them to a council and like show them the future and be like, so you still guys want to like welcome immigrants and like have an open border? Like it's be good for you? Like,
well, look at Europe, dude. I mean, you have such a bad immigration problem in Europe. They just want to, you know, for whatever evil nefarious reason, they don't want to admit it. And then you have Poland, who's like shooting live rounds at people to not cross their border, and Poland's like, fine. It's like, yeah, dude, that's why. Because like Poland's like, no, we're keeping the shit in check. I don't give a fuck what you guys do over there in England and Germany, but we're not having that shit here. And then Poland's like thriving, and as England and Germany and all these other countries are fucking falling, it's like, it's obvious. It's a problem. Well,
I think a good analogy is that some of the libertarians are just like, it's like I think people were like you, me, Mises Caucus style libertarian. It's like, we look at the problem and we're like, this is a massive Jenga puzzle, and we're going to try to, like, you know, play Jenga. And the other ones are like, let's just take the bottom ones out and have everything collapse.
Right.
Like, you can't do that. And even if you could, then everything just collapses. And like, that's probably going to be worse, actually. So I don't know. Like, let's not do that.
No, I agree. I got to go do my other podcast.
Take luck, man. Cool. Tell everyone before you go, plug your shit before you hop off.
Yeah, just follow me on X, Twitter, whatever the fuck, at Adam Nutter, please. And go check out my podcast I do with Kyle Matovic, Luke, and Typo from Biting the Bullet, and Sam Urban from Illegitimate Scholar Podcast. We do it 5 till midnight, live every Monday at 8, even though we never start at 8. It's usually like 8:05, 8:10. But live every Monday at 8. check us out. 5 till midnight, available everywhere you get podcasts and YouTube. Please subscribe to our YouTube.
All right, man. Hey, man, it's been fun. We'll do it again sometime. Take care.
Yes, brother. Thank you.
All right. Peace, guys.